Today I'd like to discuss the origin of passing the buck. Many think the term has to do with the American dollar. The origin actually has more to do with a game of cards. Poker became very popular in America during the second half of the 19th century, but players were highly suspicious of cheating or any other form of bias. In order to avoid unfairness, the deal changed hands during sessions. The person who was next in line to deal would be given a marker. This was often a knife, and knives often had handles made of buck's horn, hence the marker becoming known as a buck. When a dealer's turn was done, he passed the buck. In truth, this concept of passing the buck dates way back to the beginning of time, based on three episodes that occurred in the last week's and in this week's Torah reading. Torah tells us by Adam and Chava that immediately after they had sinned by eating from the Eitz Hadas, and Adam was confronted. Vayomer Adam, how did Adam respond? Ha'ish asher nosata imadi, hi nasnali min ha'etz va'ochel. The Torah tells us that Adam said that the woman which you gave to me, she gave me fruit from this tree, and I ate. Vayomer Hashem elokim lo'isha, then God turns to the woman, to Chava, and asks, Mazos asis, what'd you do? Vatomer Isha, and the woman also. She says, Hanachash hishiani v'ochel. It was the serpent, the snake that deceived me, and I ate. We find that Adam and Chava passed the buck. But nonetheless, they were punished. One could ask, why were they punished? After all, it sounds like a legitimate excuse. And the answer is that Adam and Chava, upon saying what they did not take personal responsibility for their actions. We find later on in the Parsha the story of Cain and Hevel, a sibling rivalry between these two brothers. The Torah tells us, V'yomer Cain el Hevel achiv, that Cain said to his brother, Hevel, V'yehi b'yosem basada, V'yokom Cain el Hevel achiv, V'yargeu. That they were in the field, Cain stood up against his brother Hevel, and he killed him. And again, Cain has an opportunity, much like his father and mother, to be able to own up to their mistakes. Vayomer Hashem el Cain, Ehev l'achicha, where's your brother? Vayomer, and Cain turns to God and says, Lo yadati, I don't know. Hashem r'achi enochi, famous words, am I my brother's keeper? In fact, it's brought down in a medrash, in Imri Yosher, that confirms Cain's intent. As the matter states, V'zehu she'omar, U'mi anochi, V'yata hishomer ha'olam. Cain said, you, God, are the custodian of the world. It's your duty to guard and care for your children. Cain, like father, like son, passes the buck. And Cain, like father, like son, is punished, becoming a wanderer, a nomad, traveling from place to place. One could again ask, what did he do wrong? And the answer is that Cain, although did not deny personal responsibility, he was saying that I am not responsible for my brother's safety. Since I felt like killing him, that's what I decided to do. For what I want to do I will do. Cain did not take moral responsibility for his actions. And finally, in this week's Parsha, we're introduced to a man that the Torah testifies is a great righteous individual. Noach ish tzadik tamim haya b'derosav, a perfect man. But nonetheless, Rashi says, V'yesha darshim osilganai. Some look at Noach and say that he was righteous in his generation. What does this mean? Only lefi doro haya tzadik. Maybe he was only righteous in his own generation. V'ilu haya b'doro shel Avraham, lo haya nechshav l'klum. But to compare him to great people, like an Avraham Avinu, or to like a Moshe Rabbeinu, he would be considered as nothing. And it's brought down in Svarim that we find that what did Noach do that was so bad? After all, he spent 120 years building a boat in the middle of Kansas, saying, I know that there will be a flood because that's what God asked me to do. What did he do that was so wrong? And the answer is not within the first 120 years, but it's when we look in the boat, in the teva. Who was in that boat? And the answer was only his immediate family, Shem, Cham, Yofes, their three wives, Noach, and his wife. Noach had an opportunity, the opportunity of saving others, by teaching others to be proactive, but he did not save them. Avraham, we find by the destruction of the five cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, that he prayed with all of his heart to save these wicked individuals. Moshe Rabbeinu, when God was going to destroy the Jewish nation, he intervened and prayed on our behalf. Noach, as the Torah testifies, was a tzaddik tamim. However, he didn't take responsibility for his nation. He lacked a collective responsibility. And because of this, the world was destroyed. As a past professor in the School of Business, I'm reminded of what's called the pyramid of corporate social responsibility. And if you can picture a pyramid in which the very bottom is wide and it narrows as we get to the top, the very bottom of this pyramid is called economic responsibility, which means the business doesn't care about anything except for its bottom line. It doesn't matter who they need to step on or which corners to cut, or who to be unethical and to steal from, just as long as they're successful. It's economic responsibility. The next level of this pyramid is legal responsibility, realizing that it's important to make sure to adhere to the laws on a federal level, on a state level. The next stage is ethical responsibility. As the pyramid narrows, indicates that fewer businesses are engaged in this practice. That not only they are concerned about the legal ramifications of their actions, but they also are more concerned now of what is considered to be ethically correct. And unfortunately, the narrow pyramid, the very top, where there's only a few businesses that engage in philanthropic responsibility, that they not only think about themselves and their success and the laws and the ethics of their business, but they're constantly focused on what's best for the climate, for their environment, making sure that there's recycling, no pollution, their philanthropic responsibilities. The message of this Parsha, Parshas Noach and Bereishis, is to learn from these stories and how we are supposed to act. and how we are supposed to accept responsibility. We must learn from the story of Adam and Chava to accept personal responsibility for our own actions. We need to learn from the story of Cain that we need to climb this pyramid, and economic responsibility is unacceptable. We cannot do whatever we want to do. Rather, we must consider and accept legal and ethical responsibility for our actions as well. And finally, we must learn from Noach that being an ish tzaddik, a perfect righteous individual, is not enough either. We must be philanthropic, taking responsibility for the world and the people around us. The ultimate level of CSR, corporate social responsibility, is thinking about how we can preserve the world. Noach learned this lesson. He learned it the hard way. Taking Achrayos, the responsibility, over every living being in his ark. For Chesed Olam Yibaneh, the world sustains and is built on kindness. Achrayos. It's no coincidence that the word Achrayos, responsibility, the root of Achrayos is Acher, another person. For the greatest level of accepting responsibility is the realization that you're also responsible for the Acher, for the other person as well. Passing the buck. You know, perhaps instead of that phrase, we should incorporate a better phrase. One which shows that in fact we do accept responsibility for our own actions. As President Harry S. Truman frequently would say, the buck stops here. Good Shabbos.